After this event, 2 days passed, and on the third morning, happening to glance out of the window of my lodging into the street, I saw quite an unusual commotion. Everywhere people were cleaning and sweeping, and numerous policemen and officers were walking up and down the street. To my question as to what caused all this, our Ahun explained to me that on that day, in our street, a very important general was expected. On the same day in the afternoon, while I was sitting at home and talking with one of my new acquaintances, the concierge of the house came running into me, agitated and flustered, and in a stammering voice announced, His Excellency. But he did not have time to finish before His Excellency himself entered. As soon as the unfortunate concierge saw him appear, he was struck dumb as if by lightning, and then, pulling himself together, he backed hurriedly out of the room. His Noble Excellency himself, with a friendly smile, though with a shade of what is called hauteur, characteristic of the power-possessing beings of that community, came toward me, at the same time inspecting with great curiosity the antiques that were in my room, and shaking my hand in a special way by the wrist, he sat down in my favorite armchair. Afterwards, continuing to eye the antiques, he said, "In a day or two, you will be presented to His August Majesty. And since it is I who attend to these affairs, I have come to explain to you what you must do and how you must behave on such a great and important occasion of your life." Having said this, he suddenly stood up and went over to a porcelain figure of ancient Chinese workmanship which stood in a corner of my room, exclaiming with impulsive rapture that thrilled his whole presence, "How charming! Where did you get this marvel of ancient wisdom?" Without taking his eyes off this figure, and giving himself up to his rapture, or more strictly speaking, identifying himself with it with all his being, he continued, "I'm very much interested myself in all ancient art, but chiefly in the Chinese. And that is why, of the 5 rooms set aside for my collection, 3 are filled solely with ancient Chinese works of art." Continuing to speak in this strain about his adoration for the works of ancient Chinese masters, he unceremoniously sat himself down again in my armchair and began to enlarge upon antiques in general, their value, and where they are to be found. All at once, in the middle of this conversation, he hastily took his watch from his pocket, automatically glanced at it, sprang to his feet, and exclaimed, "How vexing! I am obliged to interrupt our extremely interesting chat, as I must hurry home, where a great friend of my youth and his charming wife are doubtless already waiting for me. He is here for a short while from the provinces, passing through on his way abroad, and I have not seen him since we served in the same regiment and received different appointments, I to the court and he to a civil post." And he added, "As regards the instructions I am required to give you, and which was the object of my visit, I will send my adjutant this very day, and he will explain everything to you, and no worse, perhaps, than I would." Whereupon, with fussy self-importance, he took his leave. And indeed, on the evening of the very same day, as His Noble Excellency had promised me, one of his adjutants came to my house. This adjutant of his was still, as he said there, a young man, that is, a being who had only just attained responsible age, with all the traits of that specific type of terrestrial three-brained being one often comes across in recent times among your favorites, defined by the words, "Mama's and Papa's darling." When he first arrived and began to speak to me, this "Mama's darling" manifested himself toward me quite automatically, according to the data fixed in his common presence by the rules of what is called bon ton that had been hammered into him. But a little later, when it became clear to his strange being comprehension that I belonged neither to his caste nor to a higher one, and appeared to be one of those who, according to the abnormal understanding of the beings of that community, are considered little better than what are called savages, he at once changed his tone and still, automatically, began to manifest himself toward me according to the data for commanding and ordering about, data fixed in the common presence of the being belonging to that caste, and he undertook to point out how I must enter, leave, and move, and when to speak, and in what words. Not only for 2 full hours did he show me by his own example how to conduct myself, but he then announced that he would return on the morrow, and he ordered me to practice, so that, as he had expressed it, no misunderstanding would arise, which might lead to where even Makar did not drive his goats. And on the day of my supreme presentation, as they call it, I arrived at the palace where the chief of this large community had his residence, and was met at the railway station by His Excellency in person, attended by a half dozen of his adjutants, and from that moment, of course, quite without the participation of his personal subjective initiative, but guided only by automatic habit, acquired thanks to doing always one and the same thing, he began to subjugate all the separate spiritualized parts and the manifestations of my common presence, taking it all, as it were, under the direction of his own eye. From that moment, as far as my outer manifestations were concerned, I was obliged, as our esteemed Mulanasra Din would say, to dance to his tune. No sooner were we seated in the carriage and driving away from the station than he started showing me and prompting me as to how I must act and speak and what I must not do or say. And later in the hall, where the celebrated presentation took place, when he further instructed me and directed my presence, this can neither be spoken of in the language of a Scheherazade, nor described with the pen of a Mr. Canine Son. In that hall, every step I took, every movement I made, even the blinking of my eyelids was foreseen and prompted by this important general. However, in spite of all the absurdity of this procedure, if one takes into account that the perfecting of a being depends on the quality and quantity of his inner experiences, then objective justice demands that your favorites be given their due for this. On that day, of course unconsciously, they compelled me to undergo and to feel perhaps more than I had undergone and felt during all the centuries of my personal sojourns among them. However that may be, although I had agreed to this famous presentation in order to observe and study that peculiar and contorted psyche of your favorites, I must say that after the ordeal I had just lived through, I was able to breathe freely only in the train, after my tormentors, particularly that lordly general, had finally left me to myself. During that entire day, I was so occupied with the fulfillment of all the innumerable foolish manipulations required of me, which were fatiguing in view of my advancing years, that I did not even notice what the unfortunate Tsar looked like, or how he conducted himself in this comedy. Now, my boy, if you will strive to assimilate thoroughly the information about the events that happened to me as a consequence of this famous presentation to His Majesty the Tsar, you will probably be able to picture to yourself and understand how, for most of your favorites, particularly in the large community of Russia at that time, what is called their individual significance began to be appraised and established exclusively on the basis of ephemeral, outer, vetro, uretsnel, as occurred to me in this case. This habit of judging the merits of other beings according to ephemeral outer appearance gradually took root in them and continued to grow and reinforce their illusion that the acquisition of being individuality depends solely on this outer appearance, and all of them subjectively began to strive only for that. That is why, at the present time, all of them, from the moment of their arising, gradually lose the taste of and even the desire for what is called objective essential being. The manifestations of the aforementioned Vietro Uretznel in relation to my person began on the very next morning to have their action, in the sense that all the data for being notions about my personality, which had previously been firmly fixed in the presence of beings who knew me, changed abruptly for no other reason than this objectively maleficent official presentation of mine to their highest power-possessing being. Their notions about my personal significance, as well as about all my qualities and merits, were suddenly transformed for their individuality. For all of them, I suddenly became important, wise, extraordinary, interesting, and so on and so forth. That is, the possessor of all kinds of fantastic being qualities of their own invention. To illustrate what I've just said, the following characteristic examples may serve. The proprietor of the shop where I usually bought the provisions for my kitchen before attending to my business insisted the first morning after this royal audience of mine on bringing the purchases to my house himself. All the policemen standing at the street corners in the district where I was living, who already knew me as a foreign physician, began saluting at the sight of me, even while still some way off, just as if I were one of their most important generals. The same evening, the chief of the department where I had first applied personally brought to my house that miserable permit, giving me the right to have my own laboratory, for which I had languished for 3 months on the doorsteps of every kind of official and unofficial establishment. And on the next day, I received 4 more permits for the same purpose from various departments of other ministries that had no authority at all to issue such permits, but where, on account of this dilly-dallying of theirs, I had applied during my senseless perambulations. The house owners, shopkeepers, children, and in general, everyone in my street became as amiable toward me as if I were intending to leave each of them a large American legacy. And so on and so forth. After this empty cranium event, I learned, by the way, that this unfortunate czar, who always has to prepare himself for such official meetings with beings who are strangers to him, and he has many of these official meetings, almost every day, and even several times a day, now a parade of the troops, then an audience with the ambassador of some other emperor, in the morning a delegation, at noon a presentation such as mine, later a reception of different representatives of the people, as they are called, and in each case it's necessary for him to talk, or even to deliver a full-scale speech. As the least word of such a terrestrial czar can have, and often does have, serious consequences, not only for the beings of the community he rules, but also for those of other communities, each word must be thought out from every aspect. Well, for this purpose, surrounding these emperors or czars who occupy their throne by hereditary right or by election, are many specialists chosen from the ordinary three-brained beings there who prompt them in what they must do and say on all occasions. And these promptings and directions must be given in such a way that people do not notice that their emperor manifests not on his own initiative, but on the initiative of others. And in order to remember all this, these emperors must, of course, also practice. and what it means to practice, you can probably picture to yourself after what I've just told you. I understood this with all my being when I prepared myself for my illustrious presentation. During my entire existence on that planet, by the way, such a preparation was necessary for me only once. Were preparations of this sort necessary every day, and for every separate occasion, one could only wish to be spared such a merciless fate. I personally, at least, would not under any conditions wish to be in the skin of such a terrestrial emperor or czar, and would wish it neither for my worst enemy, nor for the enemies of my closest kin.